Fantastic. Hey, in the back of the room, you'll see a couple of displays back there. Sign up for Eternity Men's 8 and 8.2, also Women's Bible Study. But you'll see one big display back there for Spring Hills University. Let me just tell you, we are poised to have our highest enrollment ever for Spring Hills University, but we definitely want you to be a part of it. There are 11 classes, and you've got a little probably sheet about that in your bulletin. But let me point out a few classes that are being taught that are just going to be amazing. I'm teaching a class called Introduction to World Religions. I taught this class before, but I'm going to actually change it this time around to have a week on Islam and a second week on radical Islam and really focus in on that somewhat this time around. So you can take my class if you like. Also, Dr. Carl Strauss teaching a class on seeing God's power in science and scripture. You're going to love that class. Pastor Jeff Houghton, a class called The Gospel of Wholeness and Inner Healing, and you'd love that class. Lots of classes you would love and just going to be awesome. So go back and look at those. Anybody here think you might sign up for a class and you're not yet signed up? You get a little shoe football. Scarlet and gray. You might not want that this morning, but a little football for you here. And anybody think you might sign up for that? If you're not signed up yet, just raise your hand. I'm going to throw you a football right here. Okay. You think we can do this? Oh, yeah, we got this. No problem. Let me warm up here a little bit. Okay, stand up. Okay, here we go. Oh, spiral. Didn't see that last night. Okay, all right. Very good. Excellent. Wasn't even intercepted. Amazing. All right. So we're talking about Joseph and about these tests that Joseph goes through. And here's the understanding, is that God had an amazing plan for Joseph's life and that God desired for Joseph to save his entire family from starvation and famine. But before Joseph could get to that place to save Egypt, surrounding areas, and his family, Joseph had to go through a number of tests to get to that point. We talked week one about the plan test, and we talked week two about the pit, and we talked about the stewardship test. And this week, we see a brand new test that Joseph goes through. So let's just pick up where we left off last week. We didn't lose last week. Losing's on my mind, I guess. Genesis 39, 6, we ended with this last week, and here's what we saw last week. We saw Joseph in the house of Potiphar. Can you guys say Potiphar? Potiphar was a wealthy landowner. He was called the captain of the guard. And we saw Joseph in his house being promoted again and again. And here's how we left off last week. Genesis 39, 6. So Potiphar left everything he had, all his fields, his estate, everything he had in Joseph's care. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food that he ate. And then verse 6 ends in kind of a strange way. Here's what it says. Now Joseph was well-built and handsome. Just focus on that for a moment, if you can. Joseph was going around the house, and he's doing his duties, and he's well-built and handsome. And we're going to cross over into verse 7, and I want you to look carefully at what it says. And after a while, his master's wife, that's Potiphar's wife, took notice of Joseph, and she said, "Come to bed with me." Now, I'll tell you, that doesn't sound quite as bad in English as it is in Hebrew. In Hebrew, it's only two words. And the two words in Hebrew are, lie down. That's actually what she said. She walked up to him, two words in Hebrew, and she said, lie down. And everybody knew exactly what she meant, exactly what she was thinking. She was not shy about this. Now, as you encounter this story, you might be wondering, well, maybe that's okay. Maybe in that culture, in that time, maybe adultery wasn't a problem, and maybe she's acting in a way that's in accordance with her culture. Of course, Joseph would know it was wrong, but did she know that was wrong? So let's just talk about Egypt for a second. Adultery in Egypt was seen as a crime. It wasn't just morally wrong, it was a crime. A man could be forced into a divorce, but a woman could be executed for committing adultery. We have some ancient literature from Egypt, and around the time that this happened, within 500 years of this event, there was a book that we have even today. Here's the cover of the book. It's called The Tale of Two Brothers, and in The Tale of Two Brothers, an ancient Egyptian story, the adulterous wife in that story was found out, executed, and her body was thrown to the dogs. And so certainly Potiphar's wife would have known, this is wrong. Not only is this morally wrong to my husband Potiphar, This is wrong. I could be executed. I could be found out. Adultery is something that is just plain wrong. But she still went to Joseph. She still noticed him. And she said, come to bed with me. Now, let's see how the story continues. But when I stop, you guys jump in. But he refused. Nice job, Joseph. Nice job. But he refused. With me in charge, Joseph says. My master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he's entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. Now look at this last line. It's so powerful. Here's what he says. How then Could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? Give Joseph a hand, everybody. Come on, give him a hand. 4,000 years later, it's still okay to give him a hand. That's great. She comes to him. She says, she tempts him. She tries to entice him. And he says, no way. How could I ever do such a wicked thing and sin against God? Let's see how the story continues. And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. Just focus on this for a second. Day after day. How many guys, you've had something happen, maybe it wasn't a temptation to sin, but where someone's come to you every single day, they come to you day after day. Hey, Dad, can we go do this? Hey, Mom, can we go to that? Or hey, you got to do this, or you got to do that. That day after day nagging. Who's experienced that? Just raise your hand. You've experienced that day after day nagging? It's so easy when they come day after day to say, okay, fine, just be quiet. But Joseph didn't do that. Day after day, she's coming to him. She's offering herself to him, and Joseph refuses. Day after day, he's being tempted with this desire, and he refused to go to bed with her. Now, look at the last part. Or even be with her. Imagine this. Here they are in Joseph's house, the palace, and Joseph's probably doing his duties, and he's over here talking to the cook and the maid and whatever, and here comes Potiphar's wife. Can't you see it? Here she comes, and she's like, oh. There's Joseph again. And she's walking. Here he is doing his duties. And he's like, oh, no, there she is. And he, you know, walks this way and, you know, runs off. And she walks up. And she's like, now, where did he go? You know, can't you just see? She's coming day after day. She's trying to entice him and lure him into her bed. But he wouldn't do it. He would not go to bed with her or even be with her. He's not even around her. We saw Joseph in our first installment of this sermon, maybe being a little bit selfish, maybe arrogance, maybe even, you know, exaggerating some things. But now the character of Joseph is so solid. He won't be with her. He refuses. Look how it continues. One day, could you guys just say, bum, bum, bum? Okay, I'll read it again. One day. Nice. One day, he went in the house to attend to his duties. What a good man. He's doing his job, attending to his duties. And none of the household servants were inside. This is not a good thing. And she caught him by the cloak, and she said, come to bed with me. Same two Hebrew words. Exact same thing that she said before. Come to bed with me. But he left his cloak in her hand, and he ran out of the house. He's out of there. Now, we see in this situation that Joseph is facing a possibility of losing his purity. His purity is so important to him that he's defending his purity. He wants to stay pure, and that's why we're calling today the purity test. The purity test actually has three parts of it, and here's the phrasing for the purity test. Here's the question. As you are choosing between right and wrong, can you, and there are three separate things we're going to look at and we're going to go into. So here's number one. Stay with me. As you're choosing between right and wrong, can you, here's number one, can you, write this in your notes, here we go, can you resist temptation? Can you? Can you resist temptation? Here, there's temptation before Joseph day after day. Temptation is pursuing him, but he consistently resists the temptation. So a few natural questions about temptation. What is it? Hey, Pastor Tom, what is temptation? Here's a definition. Webster's Dictionary says this. Temptation is a desire. Say desire. Now say it like you mean it. Desire. That's right. Exactly. A desire to do something, especially something wrong or unwise. Now just understand, you can be tempted to do good things. Somebody might have said this morning, you know, I'm tempted to go to church. I am. I truly am. You might be tempted to take a Spring Hills University class. That's a good temptation. But we tend to think of temptation as a negative thing. I'm desiring to do something which is possibly wrong or unwise. Now, here's what I want you to understand. Temptation always involves desire. If there's no desire, there's no temptation. Temptation always involves desire. Tom, can you prove that? Sure, I can. Here it is right here, James 1:14. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Without desire, there's no temptation. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German theologian who stood up to Hitler and has an inspiring life story. Eventually, he was executed by the Nazis in a concentration camp. But before all that, he wrote a little pamphlet on temptation. And here's how he describes the moment of temptation. Listen to what Bonhoeffer says. With overwhelming power, desire seizes mastery over the flesh. It makes no difference whether it's sexual desire or ambition or vanity or desire for revenge or love of fame and power or greed for money. At that moment, the moment of temptation, at that moment, God is quite unreal to us. He loses all reality, and only desire is real. How many guys have had that feeling when only desire was real? You had that moment? Maybe you don't want to raise your hand in church. You're like, I don't know about raising my hand on this one. But that's how it is, isn't it? The moment you're tempted, all you feel is desire. You're not focusing on the big picture or good things. You're just filled with desire. Bonhoeffer says, Satan does not here fill us with hatred of God, but with forgetfulness of God. Suddenly we forget about our commitment. Suddenly we forget about God, and we're in that moment of desire. Now, yesterday, I'll tell you, I had a moment of desire. Yesterday, I had my lunch, and I had a delicious tiny cup of broccoli soup, and I had a little salad. And I was looking at my little salad. It wasn't very big. I'll show you a picture of it in a second. But I had my little salad, and I was eating my little salad yesterday, and I had this memory, a little memory from my previous life. And I don't mean like reincarnation previous life. I mean before diet previous life. And I had this memory of my previous life, and it was this certain sandwich at a certain restaurant. I won't say which one, but she has red hair with pigtails. And the sandwich really probably is in no way good for you. Nothing redeeming about it at all. It's actually called a Baconator, and I had this memory of it. And I'm shoveling, you know, salad in my mouth, and I'm like, oh, delicious. Oh, oh. And I'm eating it, and I had this memory. Now, just let's just focus for a second. Here's the salad I was eating. That's the exact salad. We're gonna zoom in here. And here's what I remembered. Oh, the Baconator. There it is. Bun. Two patties. That's my daughter's hand. Bacon on the, oh, my goodness. And I want you to understand that as I was there and I was just thinking about these things, I was just looking at that salad and I was eating it and I'm like, oh, I'm doing the right thing here. But in my mind, there was this moment of desire for my friends, this delicious monstrosity, this creation of bacon. It was in my mind. And I was thinking about it, and I was like, wow, what I wouldn't do just to sink my teeth into one of those babies. Wouldn't that be amazing? Now, some of you are like, Tom, I don't like that. But you know what? I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. Right? So what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to think about something you're continually tempted by. And for the purpose of this sermon, put what you're continually tempted by in the place of the Baconator. Okay. Oh, we won't do that. We're not going to go heavy on that one. I'm not going to smell it like I did last night. That was troubling. But here's the thing. All right, take notice, ask a question, raise your hand. Now listen, be bold. How many of you in here, in some point in the last year, have experienced temptation? Just raise your hand. Okay, everybody raise your hand. Come on. We all have, right? We all know this. We've all experienced temptation. Maybe you got a better question. Tom, what could I be tempted by? Tell me more about this. What kind of temptations exist? Now, you can split up temptation any number of ways, but let me just do it like this. There are temptations that exist in your mind. Say mind. They're in your mind. They deal with your thoughts. And there are all kinds of temptations that simply reside in the area of your mind and your thoughts and what you're thinking. And there are temptations that are right there. Beyond your mind, there are temptations that for your mouth, for the words that you say. Who here in the last year has said something they deeply regret? If you deeply regret, two hands on that. Yeah, I'm going to go two hands, right? You say something, you didn't mean it. You were upset, you were angry, and it just came out of your mouth. You were tempted, and you did it. And then the last thing, so there's temptations in your mind, temptations in your mouth. And then the last thing is with your body. There are temptations with my body to do things that I know are wrong. That's actions that I know I shouldn't do. But let me show you how this often breaks down. Here's how it normally works. Let's take our example of Joseph and Potiphar's wife, and here's sexual temptation. Here's how it goes. This temptation, it begins in your mind. It begins in your mind. Listen, look at what it says. Genesis 39:7. And after a while, this could have been years. We don't know how long a while is. But after a while, Potiphar's wife took notice of Joseph. She saw him. She saw how he walked and how he carried himself and how he was well-built and handsome. Now, for 10 years, I was a youth pastor. I dealt with high school students. I have one very clear memory of my mind. We had a youth event. It was in the Fireside Room a number of years ago, and we had a boy at that event, a senior boy, an athlete, just an incredible athlete. He scored over 1,000 points for Granville Christian Academy basketball team. He was just an amazing athlete, and he was awfully good-looking, well-built, and handsome, and he was at that event. And I also saw a girl. She was a freshman, and it was her first youth event to come to. And she came, and she was sitting in the back of the Fireside Room just like this. And I happened to be standing right here. And then that well-built and handsome, you know, senior in high school, he kind of walks by, and he just walks past her. All he did, he walked past her, and she made this move. I'll never forget. She made this sound. She went, whoo, just like that, just when he walked past. He went past, he walked by, and she's like, woo. I teased him for the rest of the year. I was like, every time I saw him, I'm like, woo. Every time I saw him, I just teased him about it. But that's what happens, right? Potiphar's wife, she sees him. She sees Joseph. She's like, woo, woo. That temptation began in her mind, right? It began right there. Some of you, it's right here, right? This is it. Woo. Whatever your temptation is, that's the feeling. It's desire. And you got it. And she had it. It began in her mind. She took notice. It went from her mind directly to her mouth. Look what it says. And she said, come to bed with me. It went from her mind to her mouth. And believe me, she was ready for action, right? Her mind, her mouth, her body. That's how this temptation went for. I had a friend in college. College was not a good time for me spiritually. And I had a roommate that lived with 10 guys at one point. And one of my roommates was a thief. He would steal things. And he would, you know, it wasn't big things, wasn't expensive things, but he would steal things. It began by him thinking about, you know, I'm going to steal something. We'd walk into a convenience store in college. We're all poor, and he'd walk around, and he'd steal this or that, and we'd leave, and he'd be like, hey, guys, here, look what I got. I got some peanut butter crackers, and I got, you know, this, and I got that, and whatever. And we're like, man, why do you do that? He's like, it's so much fun. And then he would talk about it. Before we went into a little store, he'd be like, hey, who wants what? I'll get it for you. I'll just steal it for you. What do you want? And one of my friends was like, oh, just give me one of these and give me one of those. He's like, all right, I'll get it. And he'd walk in the store and he'd think about it. And then it came out of his mouth and then he would do it. He'd walk around. Now he had this technique that he would do. I watched him do it probably 20 times. He'd be in a store and he's going to steal something and he's going to get it. And the manager would see him. And the manager of the little store would, you know, little convenience store, gas station, whatever. The manager would walk over like, what are you doing? And when the manager started to walk over, my friend would walk to the manager and shake his hand and say, hey, I'm looking for the peanut butter crackers. Can you tell me where they are? And the manager's like, oh, you're not stealing anything. Sure, they're right here. He'd take his wallet, you know, have his pocket, whatever. And that was his technique. Now, I just taught you how to steal, so sorry about that here in church. But that's what he did. His mind, his mouth, his body. Now, let's just think about this. There are temptations that happen only in your mind. Who here could say at some point you've struggled with temptations in your mind? Just raise your hand. It's the thoughts that you have, right? Absolutely. Now, some of these things, I tell people this all the time in marriage counseling. I say it all the time. I say to married couples, protect your spouse in your mind. Don't think about your wife or your husband in some negative way. Don't let your mind go crazy. Protect your mind when it comes to your spouse. Don't let that temptation to think ill of your spouse even enter in. How about mouth? It's so easy to gossip, isn't it? It's so easy to talk bad about somebody. It's so easy to have that complaining attitude. You know, we talked about in our Philippians study about having a critical attitude. Critical attitude, Paul says this. Do everything without complaining or arguing, and it's so hard. It's a temptation that we all face all the time, especially when watching football. It's a difficult thing to do, right? To do everything without complaining or arguing. It begins in your mind. It goes to your mouth. It might go to action. One of the things that people are sometimes tempted by is to not take the next spiritual step. There are people here in this room that know they need to be baptized, and they haven't quite done it. They're tempted to just remain in that place of not taking the next step. 2 weeks from now, not next week, but the week after, we're having a baptism service. And if you're considering being baptized and you haven't been baptized yet, just sign up for that weekend and we'll get you signed up and you can take part in that experience with us. But these temptations exist. You guys say it. Temptations in your, out of your, and with your, absolutely. Now let's just talk about this. Here's a good question. Pastor Tom, how do I resist temptation? That's number one, resist temptation. How do I do it? I'm going to give you 5 ways that you can resist temptation. Here we go. 5 ways. 5 ways to resist temptation. The first 3 come right out of this story. Here's number 1. Now, before I get to number 1, I want to say all of these are bathed in prayer, and all of these are with the help of the Holy Spirit. Here's number 1. If you're being tempted, you're feeling that moment. Hold on. I'll show you. Oh. Ooh, okay, so you got that moment of desire. The moment of desire is right there. Here's what you do. You be decisive. Look what Joseph did. Number 1, he refused. Number 2, he said, how could I do such a wicked thing? He's decisive. And number 3, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. If you're facing temptation, be decisive. Be decisive. Say no. Immediately say no. Go to prayer. God, help me. Holy Spirit, fill me. And I'm saying no. Why don't you guys say no one time? Go ahead. No. Like you mean it. That's right. Be decisive. No, I'm not doing it. I'm not falling into this temptation. Okay, number 2, here it is. Get away from the desire. If you're feeling tempted by something, don't flirt with it. Don't walk around with it. How stupid would it be if I walked around with this burger all day? What if I greeted you guys when you came in? I'm like, hey, how you doing? Here's my Baconator. Good to see you. Right? What if I went and have my salad later, delicious salad that I'm going to have, here it is. And what if I set the burger right beside my salad, right? Right there. What if I took a bite of the salad and smelled the burger? No, it's ridiculous. You've got to get away. Get away from the temptation. It's exactly what Joseph does. Look what he does. He left his cloak in her hand, and he ran out of the house. He wasn't like, give me my cloak back. No, he ran. Some theologians think that Paul is referencing Joseph when Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee, say flee. Flee from sexual immorality. Run. Run away. Don't flirt with a desire. Don't be around the desire. Listen, if your desire is on the computer, hey, get away from it. Don't go on the computer late at night when no one's around. Don't do it. Flee from it. Don't be around it. If your desire is at work and you've got a certain desire, don't go around it. Don't do your professional duties, but don't hang around your desire. If your desire is in your mind, you gotta think it through clearly what you're doing. Flee. Get away from the desire. Okay, number three. This is a really important one. Number three. How do we resist temptation? Number three. Overcome your desire by focusing on a greater desire. Now, this is a big one, so you gotta stay with me. And you really want to think about this, you can write that one down. Overcome your desire by focusing on a greater desire. Now, let me tell you, throughout history, there have been certain ways to overcome desire and temptation. The ancient Greek philosophers, the Stoics, they had a certain way. Actually, the same way was adopted by Buddhists. They believe the same thing as the Stoics and even modern secular psychologists today. They all say the same thing. They all say, here's how you overcome desire. Here's what they say. You have a desire, the desire comes, and then over that desire, you exert willpower. Just say willpower. Willpower. Now, that's not bad. I think willpower is fantastic. I think willpower is great. You have a desire, and so you exert willpower. But there's a better way. The way that Joseph did it is better than simply exerting willpower. Let me show you what Joseph did. There might have been a desire that Joseph had. We have no evidence of this. But if Joseph had a desire for Potiphar's wife and he was feeling tempted, here's what he did. He didn't put willpower over his desire. He put a greater desire over his desire. He said, no, no, no. There's something that I want so much more than I want this sinful relationship. There's a greater desire that I have. Now, when it comes to me and it comes to eating this Baconator, I could certainly put willpower over this sandwich. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to be strong and tough, and I'm not going to do it. But there's something that I want so much more than just to say no. There's something greater that I desire. 2 years ago on my birthday, March 29th, I woke up in bed, and my family has a little tradition. We do breakfast in bed at my house, and all my daughters came in. They brought me breakfast, burnt toast or whatever, and they brought it in with some coffee. I'm laying in bed, and then it came time to open the gifts. And I opened a gift from my wife, and it was a shirt. And it was a shirt. I liked the shirt. It looked great. I'm like, oh, honey, thank you for the shirt. This looks amazing. I took the shirt out, you know, out of the box or whatever, and I put the shirt on, and it didn't fit. My gigantic belly was way too big. I couldn't even pull it down, you know, over my stomach. And my wife was like, oh, Tom, it's okay. It's okay. Don't worry. Don't worry. It's okay. I'll take it back. I was like, honey, but I love this shirt. I said, I tell you what, instead of taking it back, I'll just lose weight. 2 years ago. That's why I said 2 years ago. I'll just lose weight. No, this will give me good motivation. I'll put it in my closet. I'll look at it every day. I'll go in there. I'll be like, oh, I really want to wear this shirt. And so that's what I did. I put the shirt in my closet, and I walk in, I look at it, you know, and I'd put it on. I'd be like, oh, I'm so uncomfortable. I can't wear this shirt. You know, I can't wear it. Last night, for the very first time in 2 years, here's a picture of me preaching last night. Last night, for the first time, I wore the shirt. There it is, right there. Absolutely. Amen. Right, absolutely. Actually, when I put it on, you know, yesterday, I sang happy birthday to myself 2 years ago. I put the shirt on, I walked downstairs, I'm like, happy birthday to me, beep, beep, happy birthday. You know, and I wore, you know, I was so happy. That's my greater desire. This Baconator will taste great in my mouth for like 30 seconds. I'll be bloated for a week. I've got a greater desire, right? I've got a little desire to eat this. I've got a greater desire to be healthy and to feel good about how I look. It's a greater desire. But actually, Joseph's greater desire is way greater than my greater desire. Look at Joseph's greater desire. Here's what he says. He says, how then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? Here's Joseph's greater desire. He doesn't say, by God's help, I'll resist temptation. He says, no, I've got a greater desire. And my greater desire is to please God with my life. How could I even contemplate sinning against God? Because my greatest desire is to please him with my life. Are you feeling that? Raise your hand. You with me? You with me on that? Overcome your desire, not just by willpower. Willpower is great. But better than willpower is a greater desire to put over top of your desire. Now, I know this. I know some of you in this room, you're thinking, Tom, I've got a temptation and a desire, and I've lost all hope. I've lost all hope that I'm going to overcome this temptation because I've fallen to it again and again and again. And you're saying, Tom, I need more than just these three things. How about number four for you? Number four for all of us, really. Here's number four. Get help. Say it with me. Get help. Say it again. Get help. If you want to overcome temptation, get help. You've got people all around you in this room who are ready to help you. We've got an amazing ministry meets here on Tuesday nights, 7 o'clock, called Summit Recovery, and they're here to help with hurts, habits, hang-ups, temptations, addictions, all these things. We've got a whole ministry ready to help you. We've got other ministries ready to help you. And there are people saying, you know what? I want to help. If you're struggling with temptation and you're fighting off desire, tell somebody. Go confess it to them. Pray with them. Ask them to help you. In fact, we're going to end this service today with you being able to say getting help is so important, and some of you helping others at the same time. Get help. It's such an amazing thing. It's so important. If you're struggling with a temptation and a desire and you've never told anyone, that should stop today. Tell someone. I want you to raise your right hand, please. Raise your right hand and repeat after me. If someone confesses to me, say that. I will not judge them. I'll just love them. It's safe. It's safe. Oh, stop repeating. Sorry. Sorry about that. Okay, now back to me talking. It's safe. It's safe to confess to someone else because they're not going to judge you. They're just going to love you. They want to help you. This cannot be a church where we all pretend like we're perfect because none of us are except Jesus. Amen? We got to confess it. We got to say, I need help. Help me. Help me with this temptation. Help me with this desire. And then number five, you're going to scratch your head on this one for a long time. Number five is not going to make sense. You're going to be like, Tom, why'd you put this in here? I don't get number five at all. But here's number five. Just stay with me. Number five, overcome temptation by not being tempted. Well, that's weird. Tom, what are you talking about? Overcome temptation by not being tempted. Let me explain what I mean. I was amazed years ago when I was doing a message on temptation, years and years ago, and I looked at what Jesus said, and Jesus says something so interesting about temptation. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus tells us to pray like this. When I stop, you guys jump in. And do not lead us into... Now, this is crazy. I would think Jesus would say, pray that you're strong. Pray that you can resist temptation. He doesn't say that. He says, pray that you don't even get tempted. Pray that you're not even tempted at all. Pray that God would help you not even be tempted. Because not being tempted is so much better than resisting temptation. Now, here's what I mean. How many of you here, you understand what I'm saying? Some time ago in the past, you were tempted by something, and now that thing no longer tempts you. Here's an example. I've been with some people that were smokers, and they were smokers a long time ago, and I was sitting with a guy in a restaurant one time, and he was like, you know, Tom, I used to smoke. I used to get up every morning and smoke a cigarette, but you know what? Now when I see someone smoking, it just disgusts me. He would say this, I used to be tempted by this thing, and I'm no longer tempted by it. I talked to so many men that would say, you know what? At one point in my life, I was tempted by pornography. It was so tempting to me, and I got involved in it. But you know what? Now, I'm not tempted at all by it. I've overcome it. I've grown stronger. Here's the thing. Overcome temptation by not being tempted. Give me a testimony. Just one second. How many of you here were tempted by something days ago, years ago? Well, not days ago. Years ago or months ago, and you're no longer tempted by it anymore. Just raise your hand. Tempted. You were once tempted, but you're not. You know what you did? You actually are not, you're overcoming temptation by not being tempted. How do you do that? How do you grow in such a way that your old temptations no longer tempt you? It's all about number two, and here's number two. As you are choosing between right and wrong, first you resist temptation, but as you're choosing between right and wrong, can you do this? Build your character. Can you do that? This is really what it's about. Here's how you overcome temptation by not being tempted is you build your character. Your character grows and your character is developed and suddenly old temptations don't even tempt you anymore. What's character? Pastor Tom, what's character? Character is the combination of qualities or features that are developed over time that determine your integrity and your internal strength. I was reading this book this week. It's called 21 Indispensable Qualities of a Leader, John Maxwell book. And John Maxwell said, great quote about character. Here's what he says. He says, adversity, but I put in temptation. Adversity or temptation is a crossroads that makes a person choose one of two paths, character or compromise. Every time we choose character, we become stronger, even if it brings negative consequences. The development of character should be our chief concern as we seek to develop as leaders or as Christians. Understand this. Every time you're tempted, every single time that you face this choice, what I know I should do and what I know is wrong, And every time you choose what I should do, your character is strengthened. That when you face that choice again the next day, the next hour, you can choose more easily, choose the right thing. But every time you're tempted, and every time you choose the wrong thing, then you can know this. You can know that your character is getting just a bit weaker, and it's easier to fall the very next time. You've got to go through the steps all over again. You've got to be decisive, and you've got to get away from it. You've got to get help. You've got to choose greater desire, all those things. But you've got a choice to build your character every time you're tempted. From every individual temptation is an opportunity. Like Maxwell says, it's a crossroads. And at this crossroads, I can choose compromise or I can choose character. And even if my character choice is really hard, I'm going to grow stronger and my character is being developed. Listen, that's what our church is about in a very big way. The vision of our church is building generations for Jesus Christ. It is about building individuals. It is about building families. But bigger than that, so much bigger than that, it's about building a generation of character. Character based on Jesus Christ. We know what we believe and why we believe it, and we're growing stronger and stronger. Building character is such an amazingly important thing. And every time you have a choice, every time you choose salad over burger, or whatever your example is, you grow stronger with your character. You believe me? Raise your hand. You believe me? You with me on this? Absolutely. How about number three, last one? Actually, before number three, Psalm 105. This is an amazing verse. This is Psalm 105. It's talking about the history of Israel. Now look what this is the New Living Translation. I like how it says it. And the New Living, verses 17 through 19, look at what it says. It's talking about God. Then he sent someone to Egypt ahead of them. Joseph, say Joseph. Joseph. Joseph was sold as a slave. Now here's more detail than we got in Genesis 37. Look what it says. They bruised his feet with fetters. When Joseph went off to Egypt, his feet were bound with chains. And they placed a neck in And they placed his neck in an iron collar. Here's Joseph going to Egypt. His feet are chained. His neck's in an iron collar. He's bruised by it. Look at verse 19. Until the time came to fulfill his dreams, the Lord tested Joseph's character. Joseph's character was tested and tested, and he came out. He came out with a strong character that God could use. How about you? As your character is tested, how are you coming out? How are you shining in the moment when God is testing your character, to choose not compromise, but choose building your character. And here's the last one. Number three, I'm going to wrap this thing up. Number one, I said the purity test is about resisting temptation. Number two, as you resist temptation, you build your character. Every time you resist temptation, you build your character. And then number three is even bigger than building your character. As you're choosing between right and wrong, can you do this? Leave a legacy. Leave a legacy that impacts the world. Leave a legacy that impacts all those around you. What does it mean? Leave a legacy. Here's the definition from the dictionary. Legacy, an attitude or achievement or pattern of thought that continues to exist after someone moves on or dies. Here's the idea. Here's legacy. Here's my personal definition of legacy. Legacy, your influence that continues even if you are not present. Here's what it means. When you're able to resist temptation again and again, through God's help, through the Holy Spirit filling you, you're able to build your character built on God's word and your relationship with Christ, your character is built, then you have a certain standing with people. They see your character and they're influenced by. How many guys here, just raise your hand, you know a person of high character? Just raise your hand. I'm confident that person of high character, they're leaving a legacy wherever they go. I work with teenagers for such a long time, and I saw this happen again and again. High school students would go 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade. They'd be growing in their faith. They'd be massive leaders. And then those seniors in high school would graduate. They'd go off to college. And the kids that were left behind, they felt it. They remembered those kids. They remembered the influence that they had and their legacy. Their legacy existed on. Recently, I was driving my daughter in the car. My daughter's 16. Her driving test is this Tuesday. Pray for God's will. Pray for God's will. So Liz is driving just like this, and she's driving and in the car, and she's driving, and I'm sitting beside her in prayer, no doubt. And as she's driving, she's just talking, and it's kind of like this. It's like teenage girl talk, teenage girl talk, teenage girl talk, teenage girl talk, 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 talk. And then she says this thing. She looks at me while she's driving, not a good idea. She looks at me, and she said this. She said, Dad, what kind of legacy do you want to leave? I was like, whoa, what a big question. I was like, go back to Sally Likes Johnny. What were you saying before? Go back to that, right? That's a big question. And then she's still driving. She's still driving. She's like, Dad, seriously. Seriously, Dad. Seriously. Seriously, Dad. What kind of legacy do you want to leave? And I said, I want to build generations for Jesus Christ. She's like, Dad, that's kind of lame and generic. That's what she said. Just like that. Not that our vision is lame and generic, but she wanted something personal from me. She wanted personally to know, what's my dad's legacy? And then she said this. She's like, what do you want to say on your tombstone? What's a big question from a 16-year-old girl, right? I'll ask you the same question. What kind of legacy do you want to leave? When you're gone, even if you're a child right now, someday you're going to probably have children, unless we all go home first. And if you're even a child today, or you're a teenager today, or you're in a young adult, or an adult, or an older adult, what kind of legacy do you want to leave? What are the people to say about you when you've moved on? What are they going to say? Are they going to say, man, I saw them face temptation, and they resisted it. I saw their character grow and grow and grow, and now their influence continues even when they're not here. That's building, leaving a legacy that impacts the world. Here's the purity test. Here's the whole thing all put together. The purity test. You can fill in your blanks at the top of your note sheet if you want, or just read it and think about it. Purity test. As you are choosing between right and wrong, can you resist temptation, build your character, and leave a legacy that impacts the world? Now, I don't mean to say that you can do this on your own. It's all through God. It's all through the Holy Spirit working in you and Christ's relationship and you reading and studying the Word of God. But here's the idea. Can you resist temptation? Can you build your character? And can you leave a legacy that impacts the world? Let me tell you what we're going to do. In just a moment, I'm going to pray for you. And when I finish praying, I'm going to invite any and all of you to come to the altar. I'm going to ask you to come to the altar, and when you come at the altar, you're boldly saying, as you kneel down, you're boldly saying, you know what? I'm dealing with a temptation. Just like everyone else, I have a temptation, a desire, and I want to build my character. I want to leave a legacy, and you're going to come, and you're going to pray. Last night, the altar was full of people. And first, you're going to come and just say, that I'm dealing with temptation, and I'm going to pray about it. Number two, you might want to pray not about temptation or this message. You might want to come and kneel and pray about the state of the world today. Maybe you're saying this, I am not going to leave my church until I pray for Christians in Iraq who are being beheaded because of their faith. Maybe you're saying that. That's fine, too. Come pray for that. Come pray for the Ebola crisis in Africa. Come pray for our nation. There's so many things to pray about. Come for any reason that you want to pray. You're facing temptation. You're praying for our world. You're grieving about what's happening. Come and pray. Fill the altar. That's group number one. And then here's group number two. Group number two is people in this room that want to say, they want to say this, there are people here to help you. And if you're in group two, after group one goes up, you're going to walk up behind them and simply put a hand on their shoulder. Don't talk to them. Put a hand on their shoulder and quietly pray for them. Just let them know in this church, there are people who care about you and people who want to support you in prayer. Last night I saw it. The altar was filled on both sides. Teenagers all over on this side. And adults that didn't even know them, people didn't even know them, got out of their seat. They walked over. They put a hand on their shoulder and they prayed for them. They're saying, there is help here. Someone loves you. And someone's praying for you, even if you don't know them. So just bow your heads, please. I'm going to pray for you. If you're in group one, you're coming to pray. If you're in group two, you're coming to pray for those who are praying. Father, I thank you for the purity test. God, I know that every person in this room, myself 100% included, we face temptation. We have desires to do what is wrong. But God, I pray in this moment we can have the courage to stand up, to come to the altar, to kneel, and to say, you know what, I do face temptation, and I'm kneeling to pray and get God's help. I pray, God, you would raise an equal number of people that would come and pray for those who are praying, to tell them there are people here who love you and they want to help you. Father, many in this room, perhaps all of us, we need to be in prayer for the events around this world. God, we see evil rising, and as evil rises, good men and women need to pray. And God, I pray you would put that burden of prayer on our hearts to pray for temptations, desires, building character, leaving a legacy, to pray for our world, our nation. And God, I pray you rise up people to pray for those who are praying, to intercede for them. And Father, we praise you and we thank you. In your name I pray. Amen. Okay, everybody stand up all together. Stand up. If you want to be wave number one, come pray. Just come right now. Come on, don't be shy. Don't be nervous. Just come pray. Pray for temptations, pray for our world, pray for things that are happening. Come on, find a spot and come up here. You're part of the first wave, you're a prayer. And you got to pray for things, you got to think about things, about yourself, your own life, temptations, the world around us. Just come pray. Heartaches, difficulties, pain in your life, come pray. Come pray for those things, those pain, those heartaches, the difficulties. Come on, find a spot. Just kneel at the altar if you can, as best you can. I'm just going to call for that second group. You're the ones coming to pray for them. You're coming to say, there's help available. There are people in the Church of Jesus Christ, and they love you. And they want to pray for you. They may not know you, but they love you. So if you're in that second group, come on right now. Come on, group two. Find somebody that you know or don't know and place a hand on their shoulder. Don't talk to them. Don't interrupt them. Just pray. Come on. We need prayers. We need intercessors to come right now and be bold enough to pray for others just so they know that you love them, just so they know that someone cares. They're not bearing the struggle alone. We bear our burdens together. If you're not coming for either one, just be in prayer. Just be in prayer about this message and about your life, about our world.
is to be.
Quick things. Number one, if you're here for the very first time today or second time, you're new here, go back to our information center and we'd love to give you one of these bags with a free gift. There's a Baconator in every one. Okay, just kidding. Go back and see Pastor Coley back there. Get one of these bags and we'd love to thank you for being here. Second of all, we've got a healing prayer team back in the prayer room. Get a little way back there, guys. And go back. They want to pray for anything physically, emotionally happening for you. They want to be in prayer for you. And last of all, please, every one of you, if you haven't signed up yet, go back, look at those Spring Hills University classes, check them out. There's some amazing classes back there. Mr. John Ubel teaching a class on finance and biblical principles for finance. Go back and look at all those classes. They're just amazing. How many guys are blessed by being in church today? Just blessed to be here and awesome, awesome, awesome. Thanks a lot. Well, God bless you. I will see you next week. We're talking about the prison test next week, so come back. It's going to be awesome. Thanks a lot. Have a great day.